Did you notice that in that last verse? He sought me and bought me. You know, Jesus Christ pursues you. He looks for you. You know, we learned that in Luke 15. Remember, he gave us the example of this woman searching for this lost coin. And boy, she was turning over everything trying to find that coin. And what was it? It was a picture of him pursuing you. Him looking for you, searching for you. And Jesus pursues you until he has you, and he woos you. And all those that are lost, all these out here, all over Montgomery, people who don't know him yet, he's pursuing them. He's looking for them. They're hearing his word. He's using people like you and me to speak to them. And they hear his voice through us, through his word, through when we speak his word and through our witness. And then, he's using you, but he's pursuing them. And then once he's got us and we know him and he knows us, he's still pursuing us, isn't it? He wants you to hear from him daily. He wants you to have that close relationship with him. He doesn't want you straying or getting far off. He wants you right there with him. And even tonight, he would pursue us with his word. He would have a word for you. He would speak to you if you'll listen with an open heart. Let's pray together. Father, we do want to hear from you. We thank you that you pursue us. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, it's not all up to us. Lord, I thank you we don't have to go out searching for you until we find you, Lord. Lord, that's the world's way. Lord, that's every other religion in the world. Us, our blood, sweat, and tears to you. That's every other religion and teaching that we've ever heard, Lord. Us pursuing God. But Lord, we thank you that the truth is you pursue us. We thank you that you worked so hard to pursue us that you left heaven and came all the way down here and lived 33 years and then died and poured out that blood to win our victory. Lord, we thank you that you're pursuing us. And Lord, we know that tonight you're pursuing us with your word. You want to speak to us right now. So, Lord, move me aside. We need you. We need to hear from you. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, you have a word tonight from him through Gideon. Through Gideon. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, and we're going to look starting in verses 11 through 16 of Judges chapter 6. That's right there after Joshua. You all are Baptists, I don't have to tell you that. Well, what is his word say? What is the word from Gideon to us tonight? Look with me at Judges 6, 11 through 16. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged... That's not Oprah. Okay? That's Ophrah. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Well, Gideon's first word to us tonight is, get God's view of you. Get God's view of you. And I'm going to spell Gideon. to try to help you remember. So the G is get. Get God's view of you is the first word to us. Look at verses 11 and 12. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. Get God's view of you. Well, right here, the way that God viewed Gideon, Gideon didn't see himself that way. We see that a little bit later. What did he say? He said, "Oh, my family's the weakest family, and I'm the weakest one in my family. What are you talking about, Lord?" But God's view of Gideon was that he was a mighty warrior. Doesn't matter what Gideon thought about himself. God said, "You're a mighty warrior." The name Gideon means one who cuts down the enemy. In this case, the enemy. Well, who does God say you are? Who does He say you are? It may be, you may have a view of yourself, and it may be a skewed view like Gideon had. You may think of yourself as, I don't know. You know how you think of yourself. Maybe you don't think of yourself as that much or whatever, not all that or whatever. But the true question is, what is God's view of you? What does He say about you? Doesn't matter what you think. What is God's view of you? Who does God say you are? You think about that for a minute. If He was speaking to you and He came to you, what would He say? What would He call you? What would those words be? And you know, the question is, we can answer it. If you're a believer, it's who you are in Christ. In Jesus Christ, you are really something. You are something else. The Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of you. He is with you. And when you are in Him, you are His child. You're a child of the King of the universe, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You're His child. You're His daughter or His son. That's something. That's royalty. And that's not just royalty like being from some other country and being a prince where the ruler of a country, a prime minister, a king in a country, and you're their son or daughter. Oh, yeah, the world would think a lot of that, wouldn't it? But you are a child of the King of all kings and Lord of all lords if you're a believer. And so you're something else. You are something else. God would have a great name for you. He has great things to say about you. He believes in you, whether anybody else does in the world or not, or whether you believe in yourself or not. He believes in you. And what does He say? He says, "You can do all things through me," doesn't He? "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." That's what He says about you. So get God's view of you, not your own. Get God, not anybody else's view of you. And you know, you may have heard some hurtful things when you were a boy or a girl, when you were a child. Maybe it was even from a loved one. Maybe it was even from a parent or an authority in your life or a teacher or something. And maybe they labeled you or they said something. You know what? That's ridiculous. That's a lie from the devil. Don't you believe that? You believe what God says about you. You believe the names He calls you. My precious one, my child. You listen to that voice. Well, secondly, let's let the I represent. Identify the enemies. Gideon would tell us, get God's view of you. And then secondly, the I, identify the enemies. Identify the enemies. Look at verse 13. "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." Well, they had some enemies, didn't they? They had some problems, didn't they? Gideon felt like God wasn't even with them. He just felt the oppression and the dominance of an enemy. He felt like he was just a captive, that he had an enemy oppressing him. Well, how do you feel tonight? Maybe there's some areas in your life, or maybe you feel like you're being oppressed and you're captured and held captive by some enemy. It doesn't have to be a person. It could be a habit. It could be an ideal. It could be a relationship. It could be a relationship. I don't know what it is for you, but there are some enemies. Maybe it's spiritual enemies. Maybe it's the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But identify the enemies. Gideon knew, he knew who the enemy was here. It's Midian. That's their enemy. Well, what's holding you captive? You got to answer that for yourself. What's holding you captive? We talked a little bit about it this morning. Maybe in 2010, something has just held you captive all this time. But you know, it's 2011 now. You have a fresh start. You're transformed by the living God. You're not who you think you are. You're who He says you are. And we've got to act like it. But what's holding you captive? Identify the enemy. You know, we're all in bondage to something. We all have different sin areas, or maybe a besetting sin, or something. We're all in bondage to something. Maybe it's fear for you. Maybe fear always rears its ugly head in your life. My mom used to call herself a worry wart. I haven't heard her say it in a long time. Maybe she's getting better. But maybe you're a worry wart. Maybe it's some old hurts that have happened in your life, some old wounds, and you just still deal with that pain. There's some habits that you just can't seem to break, and you've set that resolution, and maybe you've set it for years and just haven't been able to break them. Maybe it's some conflict with a situation or with a family member or somebody in your life. And then there's all kinds of addictions, isn't there? Addictions. Just things that hold us captive. You can be addicted to about anything. If it's holding you, if it's controlling some of your thoughts and your decisions, and if it's taking up all your time, it's an addiction. We can be addicted to so much. So identify your enemies. You've got to do that. Let the Lord search you. He'll show you. He'll tell you. But identify the enemies is the next word. And then next, let's let the D represent deploy to the battlefield. Deploy to the battleground, we'll say. Deploy to the battleground. So get God's view of you, identify the enemies, and then deploy to the battleground. Look at verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Well, God just gave him a call right there to go and just to take that enemy out, didn't he? And Midian felt like God wasn't even with him. Before God came to him and spoke all this to him, he was just going to live in oppression, wasn't he? He was just going to live under the captivity of the Midianites, and I'll just deal with it. I've been dealing with it for years. I'll just keep on dealing with it. There's no being free from this. That's probably what he thought. But that's not what God told him right here. God said, I'm sending you. You go and you destroy this enemy. In my name, you get rid of it. You destroy it. And notice that he said, go in the strength you have. That's good. That's a good word for me and for all of us. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. You know, you're already ready. You're already ready to defeat that enemy, your enemies, and you're already ready. Go in the strength you have. You already have the strength. You know, I'm bad about saying, well, you know, I might be able to conquer that thing one day. You know, I just got to move on in my spiritual life and get better, and I'll keep on growing in the Lord, and you know, maybe one day, and I'll get all prepared, and I spend way too much time preparing instead of doing. Do you? Maybe some of you do. So this is a good word to me. Maybe it is to you too, that he says he didn't give Gideon any time to go get ready. He didn't say, go make yourself all ready and get everything prepared. You're going to take these enemies. He said, go in the strength you have. You're already ready. You're ready. You know, he doesn't necessarily call the equipped, but he equips the called, doesn't he? If he's telling you to go ahead and get rid of that enemy and defeat it and take it out. Take it out of your life. Well, if he's calling you to do it, then he'll equip you. You're ready. Yeah, there's no waiting around. And we got to act. Don't hesitate. You'll miss it. You'll miss the opportunity. Well, many times, you know, deploying to this battleground like this, many times it's a spiritual battle. What you're going through, you may think that it's that person, they're just giving you so much heartache, or that person in the past, they wounded you so bad, and I don't know what it is for you, but you know, a lot of times we assume it's a person. We assume our whole problem is her, or it's him. And we blame it on a person. But you know, it's not. It's a spiritual battle. It's not her. It's not him. It's a spiritual battle. Look at what it says in Ephesians 6. Finally, this is Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. See, it's His power. That's how you're going to defeat this enemy. Not your power. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There it is. It's not against the people. It's not against him. It's not against her. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who the battle's against. It's not him or her. Satan may be using him or her. Satan may have a foothold in their life. They might not even be a believer yet. Satan might have full control of their life. And he and these spiritual forces of evil, they're just using her or him or whatever. But the enemy is Satan himself. It's the devil and his schemes and these spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's your enemy. That's who you got to pray against. You need to love your enemy like Jesus said. You need to love the person. You need to realize that they're held captive by him, by these spiritual forces of evil. You need to be like Jesus when he looked over the multitude and he saw all the people, and it says that he had compassion on them. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's how you need to look at your enemies. You need to see them as harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They may not know the Lord. If they do, they might not be following him in these instances where they're doing these things to you or whatever. So you need to pray for them. You need to pray that they would be sons and daughters like you are of the Father, of the King. He'll change them. He'll make them right. He'll make them start acting right. That's not your job. Ephesians 6. And then 2 Corinthians 10. You can turn there if you want to. 2 Corinthians 10. I think my bookmarker's falling apart. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. Look at this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's how to fight these battles. That's how to fight these enemies. It's in the power of God. He's the one with the power to demolish these enemies, all these strongholds. It's by His strength, by His power. You need to write that down. You need to use those weapons and not the weapons of the world. Those weapons in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And so Gideon would tell us, get God's view of you, identify the enemies, deploy to the battleground, and then let's let the E represent end all doubts. End all doubts. We would all do good if we would end all doubts. Wasn't that Eve's problem? If she had just trusted God and just knew this Father, this Heavenly Father told her these things in the garden, and when that serpent came to her and said, now, did God really say that you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? And then she said, well, no, we can eat from the trees in the garden, just not this tree. And then Satan told her that, well, you know, God's just trying to hold something back from you. You know, if you eat from this, you'll really be like Him. And she doubted, didn't she? She doubted what God had told her, the one who loved her. She doubted. She believed a lie. We need to get rid of doubts, the doubts that we have. And you know, Satan's so clever. He doesn't come to you with a pitchfork and a red suit and say, oh, now, think about this a little bit. Did God really say that? We don't have that little red devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. That'd be pretty simple, wouldn't it? You just flick that red devil off, wouldn't you? But no, he's clever. He disguises himself as an angel of light, doesn't he? And you may think, you know, well, I'm just thinking this thing through a little bit more. But really, maybe you're doubting. I'll just think about it a little more when God's already spoken to you and told you what it is. End all doubts. Look at verse 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He doubted this. God was telling him, I'm sending you, go. Go and take these Midianites out. Oh boy, he doubted he could do that. My family's the weakest, and then I'm the weakest in my family. You got the wrong guy, God. I doubt. He may as well go ahead and say it, huh? I doubt I can do this, God. Well, end all doubts. But you know, God's so wonderful. He lets us just go to Him with anything, doesn't He? We can just question. If we don't see, you know, maybe He'll tell us to do something. And we can be just like Gideon here. He's our Father. He loves us. He's our Abba Father, which means Daddy. You can climb up into His lap, so to speak. That's the kind of close relationship. I wouldn't be upset if my small child, if I told him something and then they wanted to inquire a little bit more about it. He said here in verse 15, but Lord, he just doesn't see how he can do it. And so he just asks about it. He's honest. He's open with God. How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. You can be honest with God. You can be open with Him. You can tell Him if you don't see how that could be done. But of course, He'll still call you to do it. And it's by His power. And He'll probably tell you what He's about to tell Gideon. I'm with you. You go. You know, the truth is, yeah, you can't do it. But I'll be with you. I'll do it through you. End all doubts. And you can honestly express those to God. If you do have doubts, just tell Him. Tell Him, God, I'm doubting. I don't see how this will work. I do believe You're asking me this, but I don't understand it. Lord, I'm doubting. Please help me. And be with the man. Be just like the man that was with Jesus when he said, Lord, I believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. That's a great prayer when you're doubting, isn't it? You ought to pray that prayer. When you're doubting, you need to pray that to God. Just tell Him, Lord, I do believe. I believe You. I believe what You're saying. But Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. He hears that prayer. Be honest with Him. You may feel inadequate for whatever He's calling you to, just like Gideon did. But then it's an opportunity to see God's strength and not yours. You probably are inadequate. And then His power is displayed through our weakness. Well, let's let the O represent onward with God. Onward with God. So get God's view of you. Identify the enemies. Deploy to the battleground. End all doubts. Go ahead and express those to God. Just let's end them. And then onward with God. Onward with God. Look at verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. Onward with God. Rely on Him. Depend on Him. A wonderful example of this is David and Goliath, isn't it? David, no match for that. Over 9 feet tall, this man, the Philistine warrior, who's so skilled in fighting their best warrior, over 9 feet tall. That's ridiculous. This boy David, he's not going to win. That's absurd. So everyone thought, except David, with his great faith in God, who was calling him to take that guy out. But God was with him. And you know, there's a great little formula there for David and Goliath that I love. And I like little formulas and things. And it goes like this. The underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. The underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. Every time. You may be the underdog to this enemy or these enemies that God has revealed to you tonight. You know you're the underdog. You don't think there's any way you could defeat these enemies. And you can't on your own. But if God's telling you that tonight, you know you're the underdog. That's fine. That's a good place to be. David was the underdog. The underdog plus Almighty God. He said, I will be with you and you will strike them all down. The underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. He's with you. He'll fight for you. It's not up to you. It's up to you to depend on Him and trust Him. And step out in faith. He'll fight your battle. Rely on Him. So onward with God. And then finally, let's let the N represent now. Now. Now is the time. You know what you're up against. You know these enemies. You know what your enemies are. The loneliness, the fear, the doubt. Whatever it is, the person whom you realize now is the spiritual forces of evil. You need to be praying for that person. You know what you're up against. And now is the time. Now is the time. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the... You put your enemies in there. You put your enemies in there, and you hear God say that to you tonight. I will be with you. You ask, how? Lord, I can't defeat this. There's no way I can't overcome this. You go ahead and you express that doubt to Him, and then you hear Him say tonight, I will be with you, and you will strike down, and you put in your enemies. Through His power, through His strength, He'll do it. And now is the time. No delay. No hesitation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this word, Lord, from Gideon, Lord, to our hearts, from you, ultimately, to our hearts. Lord, show us your view of you. Show us your view of us. Lord, each person here, Lord, anyone dealing with, Lord, a skewed view, Lord, a wrong view of themselves, Lord, show them how you see them. Lord, the enemies that you've revealed to us tonight in our lives, Lord, help us to go out to the battleground, Lord. Help us to go in your strength. Lord, help us to go right now, Lord, and not prepare for it. To go in the strength we have right now, because you're with us. Lord, end our doubts. Lord, anytime we doubt, Lord, would you help every person here? Lord, would you bring that prayer to mind? Lord, just to call out to you and to say, Lord, I do believe. Please help me overcome my unbelief. Lord, help us strengthen our faith, Lord, 10,000 times, Lord, that we may walk with you. Lord, we know that without faith it's impossible to please God, and we know with great faith it astonishes you, Lord. We know that, Lord, you love our great faith. Lord, would you give us great faith? Would you strengthen our faith, Lord? And I thank you that that's where we see you work. Lord, when we have faith and when we step out, Lord, that's when we see your miracles. We thank you for that privilege that you use us. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. That even though we may be the underdog in so many things in our lives, Lord, that you are with us and that you will strike them down. And you tell us that we'll strike them down because you're with us. And we thank you that the underdog plus Almighty God equals victory. Lord, whatever you're calling each person here tonight to do, Lord, I pray that you'd make it clear to them and they'd leave here, Lord, changed, obeying you, following you. Help us in that. And Lord, if there's anyone who needs to come to you, Lord, help them to call out to you. Lord, help them, maybe their biggest enemy right now is Satan himself, that he's held them captive. They know that they've not been in a relationship with you. They've just been doing church, Lord, for years. But they want to know you, and they want a real, true relationship with you. Lord, help them to break away from that enemy and your power and in your strength, Satan himself, and to confess and to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I admit that I am a sinner. I thank you that you died for me. You've paid my penalty. You're raised from the dead, Lord. I believe it, and I trust you tonight, Lord. I give my life to you tonight. I give my heart to you like never before. Help me to follow you, Lord. And I thank you that you've done it, Lord, that by that simple prayer that you save us, Lord, if that's the prayer of our heart. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.